And now the game where we ask serious people onto the show to answer questions about silly things. It's called Not My Job. Back in 1988 or so, I was living in Los Angeles, and a now defunct radio station there proudly introduced a new musician they claimed to have discovered, a female singer-songwriter with a passionate and rough-edged voice, and, I realize now, a strange reluctance to be specific about the gender of the subjects of her love songs. Since then, Melissa Etheridge has become a multi-Grammy winner, a hero to cancer survivors, the center of some very odd tabloid stories, a political activist, and a winner of the Academy Award for her song, I Need to Wake Up, from Al Gore's documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. Melissa Etheridge, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Wow. I sound way more interesting than I am.
I was about to say, we had spent so much time on your resume, we're going to have to say goodbye.
I know. Thank you. Bye-bye.
No, I did want to ask you about that, because you are quite out now as a lesbian. You have been for years, but you weren't at the beginning of your career, and I wondered how much you worried about that.
Well, it was strange, because I was out to everyone who knew me and everyone, you know, in the business. I mean, I was playing lesbian bars when I was discovered, so it was like no secret, but it was this strange reluctance for anyone in the media to ask me about it. I was waiting and nobody asked.
I mean, they never asked?
No. I'm like, oh, someday somebody's going to ask and then I'll have to come out. And finally I was like, well, screw this, I'm going to come out.
So you didn't, I mean, maybe this is just an outdated view of what the entertainment media was like, but it wasn't like what you have to be careful, Melissa, because you can't say in your song that you're singing about your love affair with a woman, because that would alienate people. You have to make sure that no one can tell. I mean, that was never a concern.
Well, you know what I was doing, even when I was playing in the lesbian bars and the women's music festivals and, you know, the full-on gay world, I would still write songs that were universal, because I didn't want to just sing to lesbians. I didn't even want to just sing to women. I wanted women and men to be able to, you know, relate to what I was doing. And I think love is something that is genderless. So I chose to do that.
You know, I have to tell you, speaking just for myself, I've always really related and really enjoyed lesbian singer-songwriters because, frankly, because women done you wrong, too.
That's right. Dog, got it. Women, you can't live with them.
Yeah, I know, man. God, you and I should have a beer and talk about this sometime. I got to tell you.
Come on.
Did your coming out affect your career in any way? Because you had a lot of male fans, a lot of straight women fans. Who were just responding to the emotions and the power of your songs. Did that change? People say, "Well, wait a minute."
You know what? I always felt that if someone wasn't going to like my music because I was gay, then they weren't really listening to my music. And for people that, you know, ask me that, I usually tell them, well, before I came out, I was selling just under a million records, like 900,000 or something, each record. And after I came out, I sold 6 million. So I can't say that it hurt my career at all.
I guess not.
I'm sorry, can I just interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
I'm gay!
Yeah. See, watch your career go. There it goes.
Now once...
It was a publicity move on my part.
Yeah, I know.
Okay?
There you go.
I admit it.
Sometimes you just got to stare at the ceiling and think of the gold records. I understand.
No!
Lord.
Melissa, hi. I don't know. We met at Kathy and Jimmy's a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes.
And,
I know you. Paul,
and,
right?
Yeah. And yeah. Melissa would sometimes just get up and jam, as talented people do when they're getting together and having a nice time. And I just have to say, in the midst of all this, I it's very important to mention that Melissa Etheridge is just a great rock and roll blues singer, songwriter. Your music is fantastic. It's really a pleasure to talk to you again.
Aw. Thanks, Paul.
Another, of course, important association you have is with Al Gore, of course. You wrote the song, which won an Oscar for his documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. And not only that, and I think this is why they gave you the Oscar, you actually rhymed the phrase, An Inconvenient Truth.
Yes.
I think it's, you say, Our Cabin in Duluth. I don't remember exactly.
No. Forsooth, I went through everything, but ended up with youth, so it wasn't too hard.
Youth.
That
was hard to do, but I mean,
what was harder was when it's like, oh my gosh, I have to write a song about global warming. You know, I'm like, give a hoot, don't pollute had been taken. You know?
Yeah.
Was it a strange context to be in at the Academy Awards for a rock and roller? Because I know that we already have the concept, we already have the facts of Academy Award winner Bruce Springsteen and Academy Award winner Bob Dylan. But how strange was it to be a rock and roller at the Oscars?
It's a little strange, and you know, when my song beat out the Three Dream Girls song, I mean, the whole gay community was like, "Oh, sorry, don't do that." It was like, they wanted their showgirl thing, to, you know, the Dream Girls to win, and they're really pissing people off.
You have problems that a lot of rock and roll stars don't have.
Exactly.
Well, Melissa Etheridge, we are so delighted to have you. We have asked you here, in fact, to play a game that this week we're going to call...
You know, for the kids.
Last week, the world lost Richard Knurr, who died at the age of 82. Mr. Knurr founded the great American company Wham-O, which gave us the hula hoop, the frisbee, silly string, and many, many other things that make life worth living. We're going to ask you three questions about Mr. Knurr's life and times. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine, of course. Carl, who is musician Melissa Etheridge playing for?
Peter, she is playing for Lori Redingmeyer of Tallahassee, Florida.
All right, ready to play?
Oh, I think so. Wow.
Okay, here's your first question. Mr. Knurr and his business partner, one Arthur Spud Mellon, called their new company Wham-O because it reminded them of the sound made by their very first product, a slingshot. Growing up together in Southern California, it turns out Knurr and Mellon had been using slingshots to do what? A, to torment milkmen and other delivery people on their block. B, to pass notes to each other in class from different classrooms through open windows. Or C, to shoot meatballs to their pet falcons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
These are our entrepreneurs, aren't they?
They are.
I'm going to say C.
You're going to say C, they shot meatballs to their pet falcons.
That's right.
You're right. The two young men, like boys everywhere, raised pet falcons. And they would shoot meatballs into the air with slingshots to teach the falcons to dive for prey. Very good, Melissa. Here's your second question. Wham-O's most famous product was the hula hoop, which sold in the millions during one of the iconic crazes of the 1950s. There is a sad secret, though, behind the hula hoop story. What was it? A, the person who sold the concept to the company regretted it the rest of her life because she felt that it denigrated the real Hawaiian hula tradition. B, the company only made $10,000 off the product. Or C, Mr. Mellon, his partner, sprained his coccyx using the hoop and never sat comfortably again.
Oh, I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, that the person who invented the hula hoop, sold it, became upset because it denigrated the real tradition of Hawaiian hula, which, as we know, is an important tradition to the people of those islands. Mm. No, I tried, I successfully entrapped you using your politically sensitive, you know... sympathies. The real answer is B, the company only made 10,000 bucks off the hula hoop, and this is why. They sold millions of them. People couldn't get enough of them. Everybody bought one, and then at like one moment, everybody stopped. Nobody in America wanted another hula hoop. They had millions of them left in their warehouses. They couldn't give them away. They lost almost everything, and they made ultimately just $10,000.
I had no idea.
But now you do.
Wow.
What did they do with the leftover hula hoops?
They perch falcons on them.
I was thinking they sold them all to the International Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All right, now this is exciting. I love it when this happens because this means you have one left to go, and if you get this one right, you win. You don't, you don't. Last question. Naturally, alongside his many successes, Mr. Knurr had a few flops, including which of these? A, goop-de-goo, a liquid rubbery putty that slipped right through children's fingers and onto the floor. B, the wicked flick-it throwing knife set. Or C, the $119 do-it-yourself bomb shelter.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Wow. I'm going to say A because I think I got it as a present once.
Goop-de-goo?
Yeah.
A liquid rubbery putty that slipped right through your hands and onto the floor?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Oh, stop. Carl, help. Yeah, I'm going to stay with A.
You're going to stay with A?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm afraid it was the do-it-yourself bomb shelter. One of Wham-O's failures offered during the bomb shelter craze, late 50s, early 60s. Apparently,
wow.
People didn't either need a $119 bomb shelter or particularly trust $119 bomb shelter.
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
Wow.
Carl, how did Melissa do in our quiz?
Well, she needed at least two correct answers to win for Lori Brenningmeyer, but Melissa had just one correct answer.
Sorry, Lori.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, maybe you'll take some small comfort in your Oscar.
Maybe.
As you try to.
And my children.
And your children and your vast success.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Melissa Etheridge is an Oscar and Grammy-winning singer and songwriter. Her latest album in stores now is The Awakening. She'll be out on tour supporting that record this spring. Melissa Etheridge, thank you so much for being with us today. What
thank
a pleasure.
You.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And as a child, I danced like it was 1999. My dreams were wild. The promise of this new world would be mine.